Brother Walter Schroeder has chosen as his subject 2 Corinthians 5:14. So please, Brother Walter, could you consent to service. Brother Walter, Lord bless your service.
For the love of our ecclesia has already been given, but I'll give it again because they all appreciate you. One of the texts I was going to use in the lesson today, Philippians 1:3, which I think reflects the attitude of the Portland area ecclesia. I thank my God upon every remembrance to love the brethren, especially as we enter this memorial season, is a very strengthening and encouraging thing, isn't it? The text for the hour, 2 Corinthians 5:14, we'll read the 14th and 15th verse. The love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. And he that died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. In putting the thoughts together, my title was going to be a little longer, but I made it very short and concise for two reasons. The first was, some years back, Brother Lawrence was the chairman, and I gave him my title. He said, "Oh, that's way too long." It's difficult when we come to write it down and so forth in the recordings, so you should shorten it. So I did. But then I got to thinking, this time, with a simple citation of a text, how important it is for us to memorize as many of the scriptures as we can. Hopefully when we see 2 Corinthians 5:14, we'll remember that the love of Christ constrains us, holds us together, directs us, gives us a help in our day-to-day life. Does anybody here remember Brother Ludlow Loomis? Well, he was a brother that could cite just about anything, yes. He had a fantastic memory. We know of others who, not of the brethren, who could recite probably the whole scriptures. But with Brother Ludlow, he had the spirit. He understood what he was reflecting on. It's good, as 1 Peter 3:15 tells us, to be able to give to every man a reason for the hope that is within us. It's good to be able to share a thought with another. It's better to be able to paraphrase a scripture, and it's even best if we can remember the citation and give the scripture to try to encourage those that we witness to. But probably the most important reason is because it helps us. We're building a character for an eternity. We want to use the right building blocks. Excuse me. And we want to have them in place as soon as possible. Now, some of us can't even remember where we walked into the kitchen. But I imagine if the neighbor knocked on the door and came in and started reflecting on the unsettled world conditions or something, I think all of us would be able to share a thought to encourage them. And that's because we've taken the truth to heart. Even if we don't remember the exact location of the scripture, even if it's the Old or New Testament, but we remember the thought and what the Lord has imparted to us. And this is the important thing. Colossians 1:23 phrases it well. Colossians 1:23. If we continue in the faith,
Walter, I'm going to move this away from your beard a little bit.
Okay. Sorry about that, friends. Should have trimmed it a little tighter, I guess. Colossians 1:23. If you continue, pardon my cough here. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am a minister. Oh, thank you. Almost like a cup of cold water, but different. And that how important it is for us to be grounded and settled. Remember, I think it was yesterday, Brother Ed was reciting, or was it his dear wife, that 2 Timothy 3:14, is it? Continue in the things, you could probably quote it, which you have learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. We were having some good fellowship in the car on the way up with the Bennetts, and we were thinking of those that we have known for years. Most of us are pretty simple folks, not real outstanding in gifts or ability, but the fact that we're still here, still rejoicing in the harvest message, after so many years. I think we especially appreciated Brother Lawrence's opening words as a soldier of the cross faithfully for many years. We don't know how much time is left ahead of us, but may we be faithful and encourage one another. Yes, indeed, the Psalms 119, 105, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So how much we want to have that pathway and lamp well lit in our experiences. There's several lessons to be gained, I think, from our theme text. The love of Christ, we can get two different lessons from that. I think the language of the text is, perhaps we can phrase it, the example of Christ's love controls us, constrains us, gives us direction. But because it does this, we have the love of our Savior. And this, it additionally controls and directs and helps us to be faithful. I think there's some lessons that we can learn. A greater appreciation of our Heavenly Father, and it was His plan that provided this Son. We can get a better appreciation of Jesus' sacrifice and the energy and commitment that it took to follow through with this. And we can gain several lessons how we can apply this constraint and control to our life and experience, and especially as we enter into the memorial season, the things that we want to be more aware of, to purge out the leaven, to be more pleasing to our Heavenly Father. Let's begin our process here. Thank you again. By quoting from reprint 5597, as far as the Heavenly Father's aspect enters into this text, we quote, In today's study, St. Paul deals especially with the church class. He explains to us that it is the love of Christ, the love of Christ that has exercised the constraining or drawing power upon our hearts. The love of Christ is merely the love of the Father. But as men, we would not be able to understand the Father's love. We are unable to understand that love as it was manifested by our Redeemer, and that thus through Him we look upward to the Father and are able to appreciate something of the love that is beyond all human understanding. As St. Paul points out, Christ's love was manifested in that He died for all. When we say for all, it means that the whole race was dead, that none had a right to everlasting life, and that none could commend themselves to God so as to be worthy of everlasting life. So indeed, the Heavenly Father is the one that has created this whole divine plan of the ages, the purpose that Brother Bill spoke to us this last hour on. You know, the lesson that Brother Albert Schwab gave last year's convention, perhaps some of you that were here remember the slides of the universe. It's just beyond words. It's so mind-boggling, the vastness and the power of that, our Heavenly Father. But yet, to bring it into more perspective, we have the story of Abraham's sacrifice of Isaac. It gives us a way to embrace the Heavenly Father's love, the reality of His heart, His mind, His love. We have seen many here with young children, and I imagine it's even more real for them to consider the thought of sacrificing their child. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Very simple and basic text that he gave His only Son. Gives us a real sense of reality to be able to personalize our Heavenly Father more. Even though His grandness of character is beyond our imagination, we have John 14:9, Jesus' words, "He that has seen Me has seen the Father." What a great Creator we have. Sorry for getting all puddly eyed here, but we really do have a wonderful Father. We're all striving to have a better, more clear appreciation of Jesus too. You know, I'm thinking that there's more than one reason that the memorial season comes once a year. We walk through this world. We need the frequent washing of water of the Word, our hands and feet at the laver. We're so distracted with the daily life, the workaday world, the household repairs, the budget, just everyday cares that draw us down. And we need to be reminded especially of our Savior, as our opening hymn brought to our attention, the one that died for all. And as our text brings out in the 15th verse, that we owe Him all, and we should live henceforth unto Him and not to ourselves. But as each of us have well realized, easier said than done. Our experiences, our schooling for our future narrow way, highway of holiness experience brings many trials, difficulties, shapings, struggles that we might learn the lessons of the way. But again, it's possible that it might wear us down. As time presses on, we want to be faithful and press ahead rather than, as the Hebrews 12:3, I believe, says, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. And I think the thought of faint there is relax. We don't want to relax, do we? But it's so easy as we every day struggle to go through life. Health issues, our experiences with one another, family, and so forth. So we're so thankful for texts such as this that remind us to think on Jesus more. Let's see, we've got another good quote from reprint. 5597. The apostle explains that all who realize this matter fully, clearly, should indicate the fact by consecrating their lives to the Lord, to live unto Him, to know His will, to lay down their lives in the service of Him who died for them and who rose again. These have a special love for the Lord, and they properly have a special love for each other. They are seeking to live not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, in harmony with the begetting of the Holy Spirit which they have received. Indeed, we are leaky vessels, as that Hebrews 2:1 text refers, that we, it's possible for the things that we have to leak out as a vessel. And we indeed do have this treasure in earthen, fallen frames. But we need to especially consider Him. Again, back to that Hebrews 12 text. We just might take a moment to read that. Hebrews 12:2-3. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint or relax in your minds. So how vital it is that we do consider our Savior frequently, and the depth of His trials and His perseverance and His victory. You know, it's fascinating to consider that Psalms, I lost the location here, 17:15, that we shall be satisfied when we awake in thy likeness. Face to face we'll see Him. You think we'll know Him when we see Him? Do you think He'll know us? Yes. And that's because we're striving to know Him more and more right now. I've always enjoyed how that June the 1st manna, that little poem that's in there, Lord Jesus, make thyself to me a living, bright reality, more real to face, vision seen keen than any earthly object seen, more dear, more intimately nigh than e'en the sweetest earthly tie. And this indeed is our goal. And as we'll look a little more into the text, if we can truly keep this in mind, when we have trials, temptations, difficulties come our way, what a power this gives to us, what a help and strength. Whereas if we just try to buckle down and lift ourselves up by our own bootstraps, we usually fail miserably. We need to keep close to the Lord and His help and strength. Appreciate another quote from the pastor, reprint 1055. The power which constrains us is the truth, and it affects every aspect of our life. And to quote, "The power which constrains or draws the saints into harmony and union with Christ and through Him with our Heavenly Father is the truth. Hence, the more clearly we discern the truth, the more it can influence or draw us. The truth shows us our condition of sin and condemnation, excuse me. And by showing us God's provision for our recovery, the truth discloses to us the love of God and of our Lord Jesus. A little truth draws a little, and the full, clear truth received into good and honest hearts is a power, the power of God working in us to will and to do His good pleasure. Without this power of the truth, we cannot even will aright. The truth directs our wills, and to such as have a consecrated wills in harmony with God, the truth is the greatest motive power to good deeds." Makes you want to rush home and study some more, doesn't it? Indeed, the 2 Timothy 3 context is beautiful along that line. We read the 14th verse, 2 Timothy 3. We'll start with the 15th. "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." So how important is that 2 Timothy 2:15 that we need to study to show ourselves approved and rightly divide the word. To continue on with that reprint 10055, when we do this, there's a multitude of avenues that affect our lives. Wonderful positive things. And we'll quote again from that article, "What a wonderful power is the love of Christ made manifest to us through His lifting up on the cross for our redemption. It has not lost its power yet to draw some and to hold them in loyalty and fidelity to Christ, even against all the subtle and deceptive influences of this evil day and these perilous times. Yes, the love of Christ still draws the saints so that they do not seek to do their own pleasure, but the will of God. And this will of God in them controls in all the little affairs of life, in the housekeeping and the training of families, into business life, at the counter, the office, and the workbench, It influences them when seen and when unseen, in the light and in the dark, in thought as well as in action and word. The love of Christ is thus constantly constraining a faithful few, restraining all evil propensities, and strengthening, ennobling, and beautifying character, while affecting all their relationships with families, friends, neighbors, and business associations. Pretty far-reaching, isn't it? Second Peter 1, 5 to 8, Brother Bill took us through verse 3 and 4, so we'll continue with the context. We won't read every text, but I'm sure we're all familiar with these various qualities that we're supposed to add to our faith. And the end of this is love. And the especially interesting part of the context is verse 8. For if these things be in you, these character traits, qualities of learning and qualities of character, and abound, not only are in us, but abound, they make that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, this love of Christ, we may have it on a certain level, maybe for many years, and then as we appreciate it more and more, it grows. And are the power in our lives, as exemplified in the this reprint 1055, various avenue of our lives, it's easier to live that consecrated life because we have more of the understanding of our Savior and His sacrifice in us. The interesting definition of the word, talk about memory, I forgot what the word is, the constraining. It's Strong's number 4912, pronounced something like suniko, and it's the thought of holding together, or to hold together with constraint, compress, hold completely. And one of the definitions was of a cattle squeeze, that pushing in on each side, forcing the beast into a position where it cannot move so the farmer can administer medication. Sounds a little bit like the narrow way. Remember years ago hearing the thought of the way gets narrower and narrower until it comes together, and the only way we can get through is to be nothing. But as we are more straightened by this narrow way, we have less elbow room to do our own will. And thus we have more power to overcome the world, the flesh, and the adversary. We're more concentrated in our efforts and our, hopefully, our love and appreciation of the Lord. In the time remaining, let's look at some ways that we can enhance this constraining power in our walk. As we enter the memorial season, 1 Corinthians 5, 6 to 8 tells us that it's a season of purging out the leaven. As we remember from the Passover season, the Jews were instructed to clear all the leaven out of their houses, and we have the picture. I'm not sure if it's a scriptural one or not, but it seems quite beautiful that the Jews would even go through their house with a feather to dust out all the impurities that they could find. And this is indeed what we desire to do. And again, that 2 Corinthians 4:7, that this treasure of the Holy Spirit that we have is in earthen vessels. And as we are all painfully aware, very imperfect, fallen earthen vessels. Some areas we find especially plaguing to us. The marvelous thing is that God looks at the efforts that we put forth to clear our leaven out, and not so much the actual results. We have the promise of Philippians 3:21. Philippians 3:21. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. What a marvelous power to transform such as us into the divine nature. We have to cooperate, though, don't we? Brother Bill read the Romans 8 context. I think we'll just reread verse 37 of Romans 8. Nay, in all these things we shall be more than conquerors through him that loved us. We have a lot to overcome, don't we? Within and without, but by the Lord's strength, in all these things, we shall be more than conquerors by his grace. Some of the grace and helping power is indeed through these promises. We have 2 Corinthians 7:1. 2 Corinthians 7:1 tells us that we have some promises. Let's backtrack just a little bit in chapter 6 to see what these promises are. 2 Corinthians 6:16. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And again, remember the picture of the heavens and the grandeur. This is the being that is giving this promise. In chapter 7, verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So what a help in this season as we try to clean out the leaven. And we all have leaven, don't we? But we want to do as good a cleaning job, as thorough a job as we can. And as we do this, we have the Jesus' example that he was pleasing to the Heavenly Father because he loved righteousness and hated iniquity. We all love righteousness, but maybe sometimes we don't hate the iniquity enough. But having these promises helps us in this process and this work. And Brother Bill already referred us to John, 1 John 3, when we shall be with him and see him as he is. And again, everyone that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. You know, when we have an angry thought, an impure thought, an improper consideration go before our minds, and that we're able then to think of the glories of the heaven, how improper, how impure anything contrary to these holy things appears. So it's a great benefit to always think of these holy, pure things as much as possible, these wonderful promises that we have before us. Some seasons are more difficult than others, when we, not only during Memorial, but just various times through the year, find ourselves in straits where the adversary seems more active with our minds, trying to play tricks on us. We had the citation from Mark, the 9th chapter, when the disciples had been out on a journey and they had tried to remove a devil from certain individuals and they couldn't do it. And they saw that Jesus could, and so they asked, Mark 9:29, why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. So some seasons, if we find ourselves especially in straits because of the machinations of the adversary, how vital is prayer? And we have many texts, whole discourse and a half could be given on prayer and the details of profit, but we'll just share a few texts. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 tells us what our attitude should be. Philippians 4, 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And when we do this, verse 7 follows, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So what a power there is in this prayer in the proper way. Ephesians 3, verses 16 especially, context that Brother Bill again brought to our attention. 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And this process of prayer and communion with the Father indeed gives us a powerful advantage and strength in the inner man. I appreciate the 20th verse again. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Just a beautiful thought. We need to internalize these promises, don't we? Just take them in and apply them to ourselves. We have some beautiful psalms along the lines of prayer. Psalms 139, 23, and 24 we might take a look at. Psalms 139, 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So if we come through a season of difficulty and trial, temptation, ask the Lord to help us out. And he says, he will lead us in the way of life everlasting. We just have to look. He will. One of my favorite texts has always been Psalms 19:14. Probably one very familiar to you too. We'll read the 13th verse too. Psalms 19:13. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. You know, one of the beautiful thoughts here, we not only ask the Lord to help us with the words of our mouth and the meditations of the heart. Sometimes the heart and the mind tend to wander in pastures that are not profitable to the new creature. But the petition is presented to the Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. This is somebody that's on our side. He wants to help and encourage us. We just have to be willing and energetic and participate in that process. The Spirit of the Lord, we need to generate more and more that we might love righteousness and hate iniquity. Again, the Hebrews 1:9, that we might be fully prepared for the kingdom, for the worthiness. Can we be trusted with immortality? I think so, because we're in the right school to learn to be trusted. The area of fasting is brought to our attention in the January 26th manna from reprint 2260, that sometimes when the flesh is over robust, we need to kind of tone it down. Sometimes it helps to keep it in its place, maybe a simpler diet for a season, maybe just an area of exercising more self-control. Maybe if you like to listen to music on the radio, maybe you just deny that for a little while. Keep the flesh in its place, and the new creature is the boss. So tone it down, flesh. You're not gonna take me. So again, Jesus' example indeed is a very powerful strength and encouragement at times like these, when the flesh gets overly energetic, and at all times to give us extra strength and encouragement. Another area that helps strengthen us is our brethren. Again, in this memorial season, we have the very beautiful context given us in 1 Corinthians 10, 16, and 17, that communion, common union, that partnership. Koinonia, I think, is the word in the Greek. What a family we've got here. What a fellowship. What a oneness. Sometimes we kind of rub each other the wrong way, or the flesh doesn't always get along. But again, that Philippians 1:3, that I think we can honestly say that for each one of the brethren, we thank God upon every remembrance of you. And what a encouragement and help considering the brethren. I remember sometime back at work, I was getting overly grumpy at a certain situation, then Brother Darcy's dad came to mind, and I thought, you know, Brother Jerry wouldn't react this way, and it was a real help. So what a wonderful fellowship that we have. What a power and strength we can get from one another. The thought in the one other place in the New Testament where this word suniko, constraint, is used, it's not translated that way, but it's given to us in Acts 18:5, and we'll look at Acts 18:5. And this is where Paul is in the service, and Silas and Timotheus come to visit him. 18:5. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And the word pressed is the word constraint. So, to use a modern vernacular, he got a real shot in the arm by these brethren's presence and encouragement to him, and was able to preach with renewed vigor and energy. And indeed, Hebrews 10:25 has been brought to our attention, this convention of forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's what we're doing here this weekend, isn't it? And what a encouragement I'm sure each of us, as we go home, will muse on the blessings, the fellowship, the lessons that we've learned here, and it will be a very great strength for some period. But again, things tend to to leak away, so we need to do this over and over again. We do it on a weekly or bi-weekly method in our own home ecclesias, and I appreciate that 24th verse of the Hebrews 10 context, that we're to consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. And again, thinking of one another, thinking of others' needs, what we can do for them, and how others are a blessing to encouragement to us. The one last quote we'll give along the lines of the memorial season is from volume 6, page 466. I've got it here someplace. And the thought of the heart communion with one another, and especially with our Lord and Savior Jesus. The heart communion with Him, the heart feeding upon Him, the heart communion with fellow members of the body, the heart realization of the meaning of our covenant of sacrifice is the real communion, which, if we are faithful, we will carry out day by day throughout the year, being daily broken with our Lord and continually feeding upon His merit, growing strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. What a blessing comes to us with the celebration of this memorial. What a burning of heart for further appreciation and growth in grace and knowledge, for further participation in the privileges of the service to which we are called, not only as respects to the present, but also as respects the future. And again, looking to the text, that the love of Christ controls and constrains us, helps us, because we judge that if one died for all, then all were dead, and that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. So this memorial season, as we continue to strive to draw closer to the Lord in heart communion, as we strive to purge away the leaven, as we strive to draw closer to each body member, each grain of wheat and each grape in the juice, that we might sort of put more fuel in the fire, have more heat in the furnace to make our calling election sure. May the Lord bless us to this end.
Thank you, Brother Walter. Comes to mind the scripture, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee."
Our most wonderful Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy promises, thy strength and encouragements to us. Help us to grasp thy hand more firmly and press ahead this year that we might be more faithful. We thank thee for the blessing of the North Seattle Ecclesia in providing the convention and for this meal. We ask thy blessing upon it, and especially our fellowship one with another. We leave our lives in your care and keeping through Jesus. Amen.